We all have purpose in life, and God had a purpose for His church. Let's study that together today.
Wonderful words of life, beautiful words, wonderful words,
wonderful words of life.
Welcome once again to Book, Chapter, and Verse, and I'm Jeff Argy. I'm honored that you're with us today as Book, Chapter, and Verse is a program where we take just a few moments and study the Word of God together. We simply look within at Book, Chapter, and Verse and see God's will and God's plan for our lives. I'm thankful that you're desiring to study with me today. And if you'll stay with me through the broadcast, at the end, we're going to present some contact information. So if you'd like to continue your study in between our program, you can feel free to do that. Everything that we will send you is absolutely free. We don't want your money. We just are thankful for your time and your interest in spiritual things. And again, thank you for joining me today on Book, Chapter, and Verse. If you'd like to reach for your Bibles and turn to Ephesians, the 3rd chapter, verses 8 through 12, this will be our Book, Chapter, and Verse that we'll begin with today to help us in understanding God's plan for our lives. I'll be reading from Ephesians 3, verses 8 through 12. Paul pens and says, "Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God according to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him." Through boldness and confidence, the Christian, what the Christian has in Christ, that boldness and confidence, we should press onward desiring the very best and striving to be the best we can be for God. In making men see that mystery, or this is not something that's mysterious or strange, but rather the mystery is a word that means that God has revealed it. And God has revealed unto us through His Word the purpose of the church and the purpose for our lives. What is the purpose of the church in its existence? What should the church be doing today that God has commanded for the church to do? After all, the church we read of in the New Testament has an eternal purpose. From the beginning of time in the mind of God, God has granted unto man what He expects the church to be. And as we think about the church, it is tragic to know that today some have an attitude about the church. Sometimes people think the church is not necessary. Give me Jesus, but not the church. But as we've noted on other broadcasts, if you take the church away from Jesus, you're separating the body, which is the church, His body, Colossians 1:18, and you're separating it from the head, Christ, Ephesians 1:22 and 23. And so many times people want to separate the church from Christ, and according to the New Testament, that can't be. Sometimes people think all churches want is money. That's why on this broadcast, you will not hear us ask you for your money. We realize that a lot of churches and a lot of teachers of the Bible on television request money, but we're not going to do that. And if churches request money, obviously, the church is commanded by Scripture to give of its means, but that's, of course, a command to those within that church, that local congregation, and not to go out and try to raise funds somewhere else. You know, it's interesting if you really take a look at the concept of giving in the New Testament. There's a lot of things churches do that simply doesn't fit the New Testament plan. So I can understand how some folks would say, well, all churches want is money, but folks, when you say all, that paints a broad brush, and that's just simply not the case. I realize there are those that say, well, there are hypocrites in the church. There are a bunch of hypocrites in the church. And I realize, folks, that there are individuals who may use the church for their own gain, that they walk in the door one way on Sunday morning and they live another way during the week. But I also know that there are those who strive to live faithfully for God, to do the things that God would have us to do. And they're trying. And we all sin and fall short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. And so to paint such a broad brush and say the church is full of hypocrites, I've got to say this. We're human and we're going to fall and make mistakes. And if a person is not living their life and they make a choice to live one way or another, then I can understand the point. But I've never known individuals that have quit their jobs because people they worked with were not carrying through their responsibility. They were drawing a paycheck, but they weren't faithful to their job. Doesn't that make them hypocritical? But we don't quit our jobs. We understand that everybody has to stand on their own, and we must all give an answer to God on the day of judgment, 2 Corinthians 5:10. Today, let's allow our book, chapter, and verse study to remind us of the purpose of the church. Let's not think about the reactions of things people have against the church. I submit to you that if the church carries through its purpose, the eternal purpose of God, and carry through the commands we read of in the New Testament, that we will be the church that people will want to be a part of. Think with me for a moment. If the concept of church is according to God, and we learn about the church through the Word of God, then would it not make sense that we're going to learn what the church is to do according to the Word of God? Let's look today at the purpose of the church. What should the church be about doing as we look at the church in the New Testament? And then obviously I'd like to challenge you to say, is that where I go to church? Is that what they do? So let's begin. First of all, the purpose of the church, number one, is to bring glory to God. The church exists to allow people to see God's glory through the lives of His faithful servants. In 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 11, Peter says, "If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. Let him declare what God would say. And if any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen." Again, that's Peter in 1 Peter 4 and verse 11. If we speak, if we minister, we do so to give God the glory, that others can see the beauty of God in their lives. I love to go back to Matthew chapter 5, that wonderful Sermon on the Mount. In Matthew 5, verses 13 through 16, Jesus uses three elements to present how important God's people should be in this world. In His teaching, Jesus said to them, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt hath lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It's thenceforth, or then it's good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden underfoot of men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid, and neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house." The conclusion is, "Let your light so shine before man that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Matthew 5, 13 through 16 reminds us of three elements that stand out. Number one, the salt of the earth. Some years ago, a national company, well, actually Morton Salt Company, produced a sheet or information that there are over 1,400 uses for salt. Salt brings flavor. Salt seasons. The child of God, the member of the church we read of in the New Testament, should bring glory to God and be able to salt or to season a world that needs good flavor. A city on a hill. You know, I love when I travel in the evening sometimes. And years ago, I was coming up on the city of Birmingham, Alabama. What a beautiful city at night. A city that stands out. A city that is on a hill cannot be hid. You're able to see it. I think about some travel years ago and going into a high area that they were able to build a fortress there so they could see the enemy coming. Not only can you look up and see, but our example too, in a light of the world. You know, every time I read that verse, I think about our little boys and girls in Bible school. This little Christian light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. No, I'm going to let it shine all around the neighborhood. So first and foremost, the purpose of the church is to bring glory to God. That everything that the church expresses in what it does should bring God's glory as we tell His story. That's what the church of the New Testament is all about. And that's what the church should be today, to bring glory to God in all that we do. I'm not going to mince words, folks. I'm hoping our study together will bring glory to God, that we can look together at book, chapter, and verse and see God's glory again as we tell His story. Let me give you a second one. The purpose of the church. Not only to bring glory to God, but to preach the gospel message. There's only one message that will save man, and that is the gospel of Christ. Paul said in Romans 1:16, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. When Jesus, before He ascended into heaven, Jesus said in Matthew 28:18, all power is given unto me in both heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. In Mark's account, in Mark 16:15, Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. In 1 Corinthians 15:1, Paul told the church there that he had declared unto them the gospel. By preaching the gospel, they had received the gospel. They stand in the gospel. They're saved with the gospel if they keep the gospel in memory. And so as we think about the authority of God to preach that gospel message, how can we hear the gospel unless it's taught? Romans 10:13-15. And the responsibility of letting that gospel message comes upon everyone that is a Christian, that is a member of the church we read of in the New Testament. In Acts 8:4, the Bible says those early Christians that lived in Jerusalem were scattered abroad, and they went everywhere preaching the word. And Philip went down to Samaria and preached Christ unto them, according to verse 5. My friends, you have an opportunity, if indeed you are a member of the church we read of in the New Testament, to simply talk about the gospel with someone. I shared this where I preach. I said, you know, if every member made an aim to teach the gospel to a soul a year, and that person obeyed the gospel, imagine the kind of growth there would be for the church. And so when we think about the gospel message, it is the message that will make a difference. So not only does the church exist to bring glory unto God, but the church also exists with the purpose of preaching the gospel to all the world. And we're going to bring glory to God by speaking His message. And when we speak His message, we bring glory to God. Now let's think of a third one. What is the purpose for the church? What should we be about? Giving glory to God by how we live, yes. Giving glory to God by the message we preach that others may learn and obey the gospel, yes. I submit to you that the purpose of the church, a third purpose, is to provide for the poor. And as we think about that, consider these two examples with me from the book of Acts. First of all, in Acts 2:44-45. The Bible said, all that believed were together and had all things common. That would refer to those that had obeyed the gospel in the book of Acts chapter 2. And sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. When there was a need, then we were able to provide. Listen to what else the early church did in Acts chapter 4. As we drop down, if we will, to verses 34 and 35. The Bible says, neither was there any among them that lacked. For as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. So we're able to respond to the needs of people. By parting with things that belong unto us, we're able to meet the needs of folks. James 1:27 says, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. If we keep ourselves unspotted from the world, we're giving God the glory. In turn, if we keep ourselves unspotted from the world, we're telling a gospel that will remove those spots and stains. Consider with me, if you will, helping the widows in their affliction, helping the fatherless, helping those that are in need. Maybe you're watching this broadcast and there's a need that you have. Well, might we be able to help? It seems like on a daily basis that we receive calls of folks that are struggling physically. Jesus made a great impact upon people by helping them physically and able to teach them spiritually. Maybe it's time that the church is allowed to provide for the poor when there are those that are in need to address that. Now, with that being said, stay tuned because in our information, contact information, very well we'll be able to assist with that. And we'll be glad to address your request. You see, that's what the church exists, to provide for the poor, to help. Yes, dear friends, I realize there are those that wish to, quote unquote, take advantage of the system. But God has granted wisdom to His people to know what is assistance and what is not proper assistance. And we're thankful for every soul that we're able to help in some way. Let's go on with number four. Let's think about the fourth purpose of the church. We give God the glory by how we live. We tell His story through the gospel message. We provide for the poor, but also with the church, we promote by edification. That word edification means it's building up, not a physical building up, as far as muscle, if you will, but a spiritual building up. People come together and they are edified. They are built up together. 1 Corinthians 14:26, during all the struggles there in the church of Corinth, Paul said, let all things be done unto edifying. If you're using that spiritual gift, if you're using that ability that God has given you for your glory and not to God's glory, and you're tearing down one because of his spiritual gift, and you're doing these things, that's not right. Let all things be done unto edifying. I love Romans 14 and verse 19 that reminds us to let us follow after the things wherewith one may edify one another. You know, that's how people will know we are the disciples of Christ, if we have love one for another, according to John 13:34-35. Here's some things we love where I preach. When we have guests that come into our assembly, you know, we don't ask guests to stand up. We don't begin the assembly and say, would all of our guests stand up? We think that's a little embarrassing. We don't call out people. We don't ask them for their money. We want them to be as in the days of old, come and see. We like to welcome our guests. We make certain if a guest is sitting in front of us, behind us, or to the side, we try to reach out and welcome them and let them know how we're glad that they're there. And people are welcomed. And it should be that the early church, it should be the church today should be like the early church. We want to receive you as a guest. Get to know you as a friend and eventually call you family. And that edification allows us to build up relationships. That as we're together in worship, we work together afterward, and then we build up together. That's a purpose of the church. Now, you may be sitting there thinking, Jeff, are you serious? There's a church that exists like that there. There's a church that does all it does to God's glory. Their priority is not how much money they can take in, but what they could give. Mm-hmm. Yes. Are you saying there's a church that preaches the gospel that like you're doing, using book, chapter, and verse and trying to dig and understand? Yes. Jeff, are you saying there's a church that provides for the poor and they don't try to guilt trip them or anything of that nature, that they're trying to assist, to help them, not only physically, but with opportunity spiritually? Yes. Jeff, is a church that friendly, that people love to be there, they encourage each other and lift up one another, especially in moments of trouble and trial? Yes. That church does exist. If we'll just simply follow the pattern of the New Testament, that church exists. And my friends, we are striving where I labor to be the very same thing, and there are churches of Christ throughout the world that are doing the same. So the purpose of the church, quite simple. We give God the glory as we tell His story, the gospel. Preaching that gospel, we're able to minister to the poor. We're able to help those that want a relationship with Christ. And to edify and to build us up, to keep us keeping on, that when we gather to worship, we leave to serve. How beautiful that is. Would you love to be a part of that? Are you sitting there thinking, I've got to see this for myself? Well, dear friends, again, contact information is coming. But it'll allow you to learn more of the gospel of Christ, to believe it, to move on that faith that's commanded in Hebrews 11:6. And then it'll allow you to change direction of life. That's repentance. A changing of heart that results in a change of direction, or like I enjoy terming, a change of decision resulting in a change of direction. Confessing Jesus as the Son of God, to be buried with Him in baptism. Listen to what that does. When you're buried with Christ in baptism, you put on Christ, Galatians 3:27. Your sins are washed away, Acts 22:16. And you, my friend, are added to the church that we have spent this hour, these few moments, looking at its purpose. Jeff, you mean that's it? Yes. And the faithful walk of life allows you to give glory to God, allows you to tell His story, allows you to confess Him every day as you walk, to help others as you yourself have been helped. And then you get to edify and build up one another. That's all you do. Yes, my friends, that church still exists to this very hour. So I would encourage you, renew your purpose in life and know that God has a purpose for you through the church in which He has the eternal purpose. That church with purpose, that church of promise, that church that's purchased, and the church that gives you purpose as you press onward serving Him. I hope that you will be a part of that. And again, let us know how we can be of help to you in the pursuit of the church we read of in the New Testament. Let's enjoy this hymn together.
Hear me, the Bible, sorrow gladness leave me, to cheer the wanderer, Lord.
The church indeed has a good purpose and much to do. Would you love to be a part of that church? I hope to see you soon, and thanks for joining me on Book, Chapter, and Verse.
Words, those wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words,
wonderful words of life.